And I invite you to turn with me to Genesis 31. And we'll be reading from verse 1 of Genesis 31 down through verse 21. And if you were here last Lord's Day, you'll remember that we looked at the account of Jacob's agreement to continue working for Laban. Laban has sort of twisted his arm. He's kept him there. And Jacob's payment is to be the speckled and the spotted of the flock. And we saw how Laban then tries to trick Jacob by taking those away several days' journey from Jacob. But Jacob, because he's blessed by God, continues to prosper. He becomes a wealthy man. And as you can imagine, Laban's not happy about that. And so we'll see now that encounter. We'll see how the Lord tells Jacob to return home. And so we'll read from verse 1 of chapter 31 through verse 21. And first let us pray. Father, as we gather again this evening and we come now to hear your word, we are reminded that we have before us the inspired and errant word of Almighty God. And it tells us what really happened in time and space. And it reveals to us your plan of redemption and your work. And we pray that you would give us the wisdom to receive what is before us, not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God. And that you would then cause us to grow as a result. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand then for the reading of God's word again from verse 1 down through verse 21 of Genesis 31. This is God's word. Now, Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leapt upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions, which he had gained, his acquired livestock, which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were his father's. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Now, several things are happening pretty straightforwardly in this section. God is telling Jacob it's time to return to the land of his fathers. It's time to go home. And then Jacob passes that on to Rachel and Leah. It's time to leave. And they respond to that by basically telling Jacob they're ready to go. And so let's look first at verses 1 to 3. Jacob overhears something about Laban and his sons. Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Jacob's being accused of stealing. But kids, was that true? Did Jacob steal the sheep and the goats from Laban? Did he take all that was Laban's? Well, it's not true, is it? It's a lie, a false accusation. Jacob did what he did, breeding the sheep and the goats within the bounds of that agreement that we saw a couple weeks ago with Laban. But of course, false accusations is a human problem since the fall. It's a violation of the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And when we falsely accuse someone, accuse them of doing something that they didn't do, we break that commandment. We break God's law, and we hurt the other person. Our God is a God of truth, and since we are his children, we want to pursue truth in every area. We want to be like him and not like Satan, who is the father of lies. We see daily how false witness and lies dominate our media and our politics and our higher education, and we certainly don't want it to characterize us, our families, and our churches. And so we need to pray to God for that. And so here are the sons of Laban falsely accusing Jacob of stealing. And then Jacob sees in verse 2 that not only that, but the countenance of Laban was not favorable toward him as before. It was all well and good for Laban when he was being blessed because of Jacob. We saw that last time. But now that Jacob is blessed, Laban is upset at Jacob and he's jealous. And you see what it says down in verse 5 a little further down when Jacob is talking to his wives. I see your father's countenance that is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. Jacob's lost the favor of Laban, but he has not lost the favor of God. And that's all that really matters. We may not have the favor of the world, but we do have the favor of God our Father. Now we have his favor not because we deserve it. We deserve his disfavor, his disapproval. But the Lord looks on us with favor because we are united to his Son. He doesn't look on our sin with favor, but he looks on his Son with favor. And because we are in his Son, clothed in the righteousness of his Son, he looks upon us with favor by his grace. And if we have the favor of God, as Jacob did, if we have God's favor, why would we be concerned to have the favor of the world? If we have the blessing and favor of the Creator, why are we seeking so hard for the favor of the creature? Jesus said in John 15, didn't he, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Brothers and sisters, you will never have the favor of the world in any meaningful or lasting way. And so we shouldn't worry so much about trying to win the favor of the world or keep the favor of the world, but we should rest in the favor of God. As David did in Psalm 3, as we saw this morning, rest in the favor of God that is ours by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. And so Jacob hears these accusations. He sees that Laban no longer favors him. And then the Lord says to Jacob in verse 3, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Now, it doesn't specify here how the Lord said this to Jacob, maybe in a vision or dream as he did in other places. But we know from the New Testament that God spoke in many different ways in the Old Testament. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And through his Son, through Jesus, comes the fullness of the revelation that God wanted to give us, which was then inscripturated in the New Testament. And so even though God doesn't speak to us now as he did to our fathers in the Old Testament, he has spoken to us now so much more fully, hasn't he? We have the whole revelation of Scripture. And that's, of course, a good reason to read the Bible. Read Scripture. But see what God says to Jacob. He says to return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. What a timely word of encouragement for Jacob. The best part of this word, of course, is the reminder, the promise there at the end, God will be with him. God is with us. Now, God is omnipresent. You know that word? It means that God is everywhere present. As one commentator said, God is present at every point of space with his whole being. And so there is a sense in which he is with everyone, believers and unbelievers, because he is everywhere. So wherever anyone is, God is there. You can never hide from him. But in the Bible, when it says that he is with his people, like as he says here to Jacob, I am with you, he means more than I am everywhere by my omnipresence. He's saying more than that. He's saying, I am with you covenantally, relationally, graciously. He is with his people to bless them, to keep them, to preserve them, to uphold them, to give them peace. He is with us to help us and to be our shield and to lift up our head and to save. He is with us to strengthen us and sanctify us and guide us and give us joy and rest. As Christians, the fact that God is with us is the greatest news of all. The Lord God Almighty, creator and sustainer of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the covenant of grace, the God in whose presence is fullness of joy, and at whose right hand are pleasures forevermore, is with you and promises to be with you wherever you go, forever. Now that's pretty good news. That's good news. And it's good news because of Jesus our King. If we don't have Jesus, then the presence of God is bad news for us because he is holy and he is just and we're not holy and we are sinners and sin deserves his wrath and condemnation. But in Christ, in Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. In him, we have the righteousness of God. In him, we have the promises of God, the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so right in the midst of these false accusations and the disfavor of Laban and this tension, God speaks to Jacob and directs him to return to the land of his fathers. And he encourages him again with that promise of his presence. God tells Jacob, it's time to go home. And look now at how Jacob relays this news to Rachel and Leah, verses 4 through 13, really. He tells them how Laban has treated him and how God has treated him. And then about this vision that he had. And I'm just going to read verses 4 through 9 first. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Well, first of all, why is Jacob even telling this to Rachel and Leah? They knew all this. Well, Jacob has seen that Laban has turned against him. Laban's sons have turned against him. Perhaps he's concerned that Laban's daughters, maybe not overtly, but maybe they have turned against him also. He wants to persuade them now to come with him to the promised land. Now, he knew that God would be with him, and that was enough. It's always really enough. But he wanted his wives, he wanted his whole family to come with him. And second, notice what it says in verse 6. You know that with all my might, I have served your father. With all my might, with all my strength. That's how we're all called to work. That's how we're all called to serve. It's exactly what Jacob did for Laban. We saw many examples of that. But whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Romans 12:11. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, Colossians 3:23 and 24. And Jacob served with all his might. And then after telling his wives about Laban and about Laban's sons, their brothers, and how he's been treated, he tells them in verses 10 to 13 about this dream, this vision. Look at verse 10. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. Well, he relates this to Rachel and Leah. How do they respond? Will they go with him? Well, Rachel and Leah now tell Jacob, and they're in agreement in this. They say in verse 14, Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. I think this is the first time we've seen them in agreement, Rachel and Leah. They were divided on many things, but they're united on this. They say with one voice, we agree. Lead us. Let's go. Take us to the promised land, which I'm sure was an encouragement to Jacob. But let's end this evening by looking back at verse 13, where God said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Why does God reveal himself here as the God of Bethel? The God of Bethel. Not because he was the God only of Bethel, some regional God, and there were gods of other areas. No, he is the maker of heaven and earth, the sustainer and ruler of all things and all people and all places. He reveals himself as the God of Bethel because he is reminding Jacob of what happened at Bethel, and you remember that. That's why he says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. We maybe need to be reminded. Remember what happened there. Bethel was where Jacob fell asleep on his way to Haran all those years earlier. It's been many years now. And he had a dream, and in that dream he saw a staircase or a ladder going from earth to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending on it. And God spoke his promises to Jacob there. And Jacob then responds in worship by erecting this pillar and making a vow to God. And God's now reminding Jacob all these years later of that momentous occasion in Jacob's life, of coming to know God, of coming to know God's ways, of coming to trust in the promises of God and to follow him. And God says, I am the God of Bethel. I am the God who revealed myself and my promises to you at Bethel. God's reminding Jacob of who he is, of who he has been in Jacob's life in the past, as he calls Jacob now to obedience. Arise, go out from this land, return to the land of your family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what has God done in your life in the past that encourages you, that gives you hope, gives you perseverance in the midst of what you're going through right now? Do you need strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow? Think of what God has done. Do you need wisdom? Think of how he has provided you wisdom in the past. Do you need forgiveness? Think of how he has forgiven you in the past. Do you need faith? Do you need hope? Do you need encouragement, perseverance? Do you need God's presence with you? Think of how he has given you those things in the past, and then be encouraged. Be emboldened to ask for them again. Remember your God. Remember who he is. Remember what he has done. He is the God of Bethel. Remember what he will do. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who says, I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise you and thank you for how you have worked in our lives. And we can all look back and see that. You have reached into our lives with your sovereign grace. And we see in this account how you have been at work in the life of Jacob. And Father, all this encourages us, and we pray that you would help us to see that and to trust you for the present and to trust you for the future. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.